Coming up, controversy over the Eastern hands-on treatment called Reiki. Advocates, including some Catholic nuns, say Reiki promotes healing. But the U.S. Catholic bishops say Reiki is incompatible with Christianity. Also, the outspoken Cambodian woman who gives refuge to 500 girls, many of whom, like her, had been forced into prostitution. Plus, Christians get ready for Lent.
Major funding for Religion and Ethics News Weekly is provided by the Lilly Endowment, an Indianapolis-based private family foundation dedicated to its founders' interest in religion, community development, and education. Additional funding by Mutual of America, designing customized individual and group retirement products. That's why we're yourretirementcompany.com. Also by the Henry Luce Foundation and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Welcome, I'm Bob Abernethy. It's good to have you with us. In Haiti, rains added to the distress of earthquake survivors and created more obstacles for relief workers trying to help them. More than a million people there are now homeless, many living in makeshift tents. Meanwhile, a Haitian judge recommended that 10 Americans who've been charged with kidnapping should be freed from jail and allowed to leave the country while the investigation continues. The Americans, all Southern Baptists, were arrested after they tried to take Haitian children out of the country. They said they'd wanted to help the destitute children they thought had been orphaned or abandoned. In South Africa, celebrations on the 20th anniversary of Nelson Mandela's release from prison. Crowds gathered at the prison where Mandela was set free after 27 years in jail. He then led the country out of apartheid. Mandela, who is 91 years old, recalled the milestone with officials at a special parliamentary tribute. A Korean-American missionary is back in the United States with his family after being detained in North Korea for 43 days. Robert Park was arrested on Christmas Day after he crossed into North Korea intending to protest human rights abuses. North Korean officials said they released Park after he acknowledged, they said, that, quote, there's complete religious freedom in the country. In East Texas, federal officials suspect a serial arsonist or group of arsonists is responsible for a string of church fires. Several churches have been damaged since the beginning of the year. Authorities say there seems to be no pattern to the churches targeted, and they're searching for a motive. Americans increasingly rely on soup kitchens and food banks, according to a new study by a network of charities called Feeding America. 37 million people, about one in eight, sought emergency food aid from the network last year. That's a 46% increase over the previous survey results in 2006. Meanwhile, a survey of the largest Presbyterian denomination has found that a third of its members think you may not have to believe in the divinity of Jesus to get into heaven. The Presbyterian Church USA asked members if they agreed with the statement, only followers of Jesus Christ can be saved. 39% agreed, but 36% did not. The head researcher said the results show the denomination has a universalist streak. Now, the controversy over the Eastern healing technique called Reiki. Practitioners say by placing their hands in certain positions, they can open people up to a universal life force. Reiki has been popular in New Age treatment centers and spas and in many hospitals and clinics, some of them Catholic. But the U.S. Catholic bishops studied the practice and concluded that it's not compatible with Christianity. Kim Lawton reports.
At the Cor El Centro Natural Healing Center in Milwaukee, Sister Madeline Gianforte is using Reiki on one of her clients. In this Eastern healing technique, practitioners place their hands on or above someone in an effort to enhance the body's flow of energy. They say that can lead to physical and spiritual healing.
As a practitioner, I'm just facilitating that energy, but you are doing your own healing in the sense of connecting to the divine and the healing that happens within.
Gianforte is a nun with the Sisters of St. Agnes. She's also a trained Reiki master. She says Reiki fits well with her faith.
It's an incredibly spiritual, prayerful experience for me. It calms the inner part of my being so much that I can tap that deepest place, that core place of who I am.
But the U.S. Catholic bishops say Reiki is superstition, and they've urged Catholics not to provide or support it. Reverend Tom Wynandy is executive director of the Bishop's Doctrine Committee.
The problem that we had with Reiki in the end was that we felt it sort of fell between the crack, that it was neither really a medical or a scientific technique, nor was it a religious technique that was compatible with Christianity.
Reiki, with its strong emphasis on the spiritual, was developed in Japan in the early 20th century. Using various hand positions, practitioners help their clients access what they call a universal life force, a spiritual or divine energy force. They claim that energy force can reduce stress and accelerate the body's natural healing process. A favorite of New Age centers, Reiki is also increasingly used in hospitals and medical clinics.
I did a lot of Reiki with my mom when she had cancer. She was very, very sick with chemo and radiation. And one of the greatest things for her was that it alleviated a lot of the side effects and the symptoms of radiation and chemo. And then ultimately in her final stages, it kind of allowed her to peacefully go.
Gianforte helped found the non-sectarian Cor El Centro is a place where everyone, but especially low-income people, could have access to alternative medicine and natural healing techniques. Reiki is one of many practices here based on an Eastern holistic philosophy focusing on the body, the mind, and the spirit.
If the spirit isn't addressed and only the body is, a complete healing won't be possible.
Lori Lumby-Schmidt uses Reiki in her ministry as a spiritual director.
There's a wide range of things that people can experience, but it does tend to be much more profound than just straight relaxation.
Schmidt did her Reiki training or attunements with Catholic nuns, who she says taught it from a Christian perspective.
When I really look at Jesus' ministry and what he was all about, it was about healing. And he empowered his disciples to do the same thing. You know, he commissioned them to go out and heal.
But the Catholic bishops say they received more and more questions about Reiki. So they commissioned a study and last year released guidelines which said a Catholic who puts his or her trust in Reiki would be operating in the realm of superstition. And the guidelines concluded it would be inappropriate for Catholic institutions such as Catholic healthcare facilities and retreat centers or persons representing the church, such as Catholic chaplains, to promote or provide support for Reiki therapy.
God is God and human beings are human beings and we can petition God, but we can't manipulate him. And we felt that this is what was happening within the context of Reiki, that the person learned how to be in touch with the divine cosmic forces such that they could now manipulate it through laying on a hands or massage or something, that the person could be healed.
Many Reiki supporters were taken aback by the statement's tone.
It's not a religion. It's just a practice that assists people in connecting more deeply to the more spiritual soul places within themselves. So I was pretty surprised by that.
The document said the church recognizes two kinds of healing: natural means through the practice of medicine and healing by God's divine grace. In the Christian tradition, there is the sacramental anointing with oil and the laying on of hands.
Christians can pray for one another, lay hands on a sick person, and ask Jesus to heal them. But you're not channeling divine energies through your hands.
Wynandy says sometimes individuals or even places, such as the pilgrimage site in Lourdes, France, appear to have a special gift of healing. But he says physical healing is never guaranteed, and it's always up to the will of God.
It's not that he loves one person more than the other, but we don't know why the Lord would heal one and not another person, but it is a mystery.
Compassionate and loving God.
Reiki practitioners deny that they're trying to manipulate God.
You can tell when you're facilitating and sharing Reiki with someone that you're not guiding it. You know, you can tell that there's a higher power that is doing the work.
Schmidt says she chooses to give the credit to God.
For me, Reiki is another form of prayer. It's allowing myself to be a vessel through which God's healing can then be experienced by the person that's receiving the Reiki.
If you try to plug Reiki into Christianity, what you're saying is Jesus is not good enough on his own. He's got to be supplemented by something else. In this case, the divine forces. So you're either downgrading Jesus in Christianity or you're taking the heart out of Reiki.
The bishop's document is not a mandate, and local dioceses may implement it as they choose. But Reiki supporters say it's already had a chilling effect. Many Catholic institutions, including hospitals and retreat centers, are no longer offering Reiki. And most nuns are reluctant to publicly speak about their use of Reiki.
Some people, I think, find comfort in the perceived security of a black and white theology. And Reiki doesn't fit within that black and white theology. And so in those kind of situations, there tends to be judgment, there tends to be fear, there tends to be reaction.
Schmidt says she's sad the bishops would oppose something that has meant so much to her spiritually.
I see Reiki as being life-giving. It definitely flows out of my relationship with God. It's drawn me closer in my relationship with God. I certainly have grown in my awe and wonder over how God can work in the world.
But church leaders say they believe Reiki is spiritually dangerous.
I want to stick with Jesus. I don't want to open myself up to other forces that may be, you know, supernatural in some sense, but not of God. I think it's a risky business to be playing around with this sort of thing.
While the theological debates continue, the National Institutes of Health has funded studies on the possible health benefits of Reiki. I'm Kim Lawton in Milwaukee.
We have a story now on a tough, determined woman in Cambodia who runs places of refuge for 500 girls she's rescued from the sexual slavery she herself once knew. Her name is Somali Mom, Lucky Severson reports.
This is a big day for the girls here at this secluded place, a few hours' drive south of Phnom Penh, Cambodia. Their mom is coming for a visit. Not their real mother, although she might as well be. Her name is Somali Mom.
Where are their mothers?
They don't have a mother here. A lot of them have been exploited, raped.
Not the little girl wasn't raped.
Yes, of course.
This little girl, oh my God.
Somali Mom was very young when she was sold to a brothel. Doesn't know how old she is now or who her parents are. She doesn't even know her real name. She says her life didn't begin until she ran away after she was forced to watch a pimp shoot another young girl in the head.
One year, I cannot close my eyes because everything's happened to me. I cannot close my eyes.
After escaping the brothel, Somali married and moved to Paris, but was haunted by the knowledge that thousands of other young girls were still experiencing the horror she was trying to forget. So she went home again and created a recovery shelter like this where girls can escape sexual slavery. Somali now operates sanctuaries in Cambodia, Thailand, Laos, and Vietnam that care for over 500 girls.
There are 72 girls and 4 children in this center on the outskirts of Phnom Penh. Most of the girls here are over 18, but many of them were sold or forced into prostitution when they were only 12. And they have the emotional scars to prove it.
This young girl, who was afraid to give her name, was forced into prostitution when she left her very poor family in the country and came to Phnom Penh to find a job at a restaurant.
One day I had been raped by a policeman. I did not know any people in Phnom Penh. And then the guy threatened me if I dare to make a complaint or tell anybody, I will be killed.
The policeman then sold her to a brothel, where she says she was beaten if she didn't have sex with 5 men a day. She was sold again before finally being rescued by a man who took pity on her. Then she found her way here, where she can attend school and learn skills like hair and makeup, sewing, anything that will keep her off the streets.
I hope that when I get skill from the center and I get my own income, other people will not look down on me.
Many girls were as young and innocent as these kids on the Phnom Penh streets when they were coerced into sex. And even though they are the victims, like the little girl shown in this undercover footage, they are also the condemned. It's hard for many to go home because in Cambodian society, guilt is often attached to the girl, not the man.
I get very upset with the culture. The culture is very bad. They never ask a question about the man, about the client, because they are poor, because they are bad luck, because they are, it's always their fault.
She says the police are getting better at investigating sexual slavery, but says too many are still corrupt. She's especially angry and frustrated with the justice system in Cambodia that often seems to favor the predators.
One of the girls who died here like 2 months ago, she had been raped 7 years old, and then we go to the court. The court tells her it's her fault because she wear very short skirts.
The little girl committed suicide, which tragically is not that uncommon, according to psychologist Kim Ratsmi. He counsels Somali's girls and says many suffer depression and too many commit suicide.
Just maybe 30% commit suicide.
30%?
Yeah, 30%.
Like Natalie, most of Somali mom's girls grew up in a culture where the vast majority of citizens embrace Buddhism, which teaches that suffering is a necessary part of life and a result of karma or a person's behavior in a past life. Natalie was raped and severely beaten when she was 9. She's been with Somali for 6 years and wants to be a translator when she grows up. She has not forgotten, but she has been taught to forgive the man who abused her.
Why I have to teach my girl to hate men or to hate the people? Forgive them. It's not for them, but for yourself.
Somali says she does not hate men, but she discovered when she got married that she could never love a man again.
I talk to him, I never get in love with you. I cannot love you. And he tell me, don't worry. We will try, I will help you.
Their marriage ended in divorce, although they are still friends. Her passion is reserved for her girls, and she works closely with undercover police to help them escape from brothels. She's been threatened many times, but none worse than when her 14-year-old daughter was kidnapped. The police recovered her daughter several days later.
The day that I found her, I had to leave her.
Oh.
She had been drugged. She had been raped, and I had to leave her.
It was a decision that still pains her, but she says she had to travel abroad to raise money for her shelters.
In the shelter, we have no rice, not money, nothing to feed the children. If I'm going, they give money. I have almost 500 girls, and I have one daughter. One daughter between 500 girls. Which one you choose?
Her passion has not always endeared her to human rights groups and Cambodian authorities. Patrick Staten is a Cambodian field director for the International Justice Mission, a faith-based organization that works to improve justice systems in third world countries. He knows Somali.
She has ruffled her share of feathers, but you can't help but to respect and appreciate her tenacity and the cause.
She upset human rights groups when she refused to allow mothers who had sold their daughters into sexual slavery to visit them at her centers.
They sold the children, and I don't want them to sell the children. I have to protect these kids. I don't care about the rumors. I'm not here for all of them love me. I'm here just for saving them.
Somali mom has gained international attention and attracted celebrities and friends in high places, but has become increasingly frustrated with authorities who don't enforce laws that are on the books, and with those who offer to help but don't follow through.
The organized crime, they are very, very organized. The people who fight against organized crime, they are very bad. Bad because they just keep talking.
I think it may be tougher for her sometimes at home here because, you know, the person that stands up in the crowd and talks about injustices that they see and demanding something to be done about it, that's not the popular person to be often in this kind of culture.
Where are your mom and dad?
I don't have a mom and dad.
No mom and dad?
No.
14-year-old Latia wants Somali to keep fighting, keep ruffling feathers. Her grandmother sold her to a stranger before she was 12. The man raped and beat her before she escaped.
It's a very bad story, but we have to be strong. And we have to strive for study, and we have a good life.
So you have a happy ending.
Before I'm not happy, but now I'm very happy.
These men are setting up for a wedding tomorrow. What makes Somali mom the happiest is when one of her girls gets married to someone she wants to marry.
All the girls who get married, I go to see her husband. You have to be careful with my girl, if no. Like, you know, if you have to say thank you, it's not to me, to them. They give to me everything.
It's estimated that there are as many as 50,000 sex slaves and prostitutes in Cambodia, and that one in 40 girls born in this country will be sold into sexual slavery. For Religion and Ethics News Weekly, I'm Lucky Severson in Phnom Penh, Cambodia.
In Saudi Arabia this weekend, religious police are confiscating from stores all things red and heart-shaped. The government allows observance of only the most holy Muslim holidays. It especially cracks down on Valentine's Day, which is considered a Western import that not only honors a Christian saint, but they say also encourages licentious behavior. On our calendar, Christians will begin observing Lent, the 40-day period of prayer and fasting before Easter. Eastern Orthodox begin what they call Great Lent on Monday, or Clean Monday, a time of fasting and prayer. Western Christians begin Lent with Ash Wednesday, when many receive an ash mark of penance on their foreheads. The preceding day, known as Shrove Tuesday, is a time of celebration and feasting before the somber Lenten period begins. Pastor Steve Beekler of the Prince of Peace Lutheran Church in Gaithersburg, Maryland, guided us through the Lenten traditions of his congregation.
Well, Shrove Tuesday, the name, first of all, comes from an old English word, to shrive, a verb to shrive, which means to get rid of or to cast off. And traditionally, Christians would, on the day before Ash Wednesday, get rid of all the fat, all the sugar, all of the kinds of things that you weren't supposed to eat during the Lenten fast. And because they're easy to make, and people like to eat them, a lot of congregations use this opportunity to have a pancake supper for everyone. It's a big fellowship event.
Tonight we're just going to make the ashes that we're going to use tomorrow for Ash Wednesday.
It's also the day then that, here anyway, we burn the palms from the previous Palm Sunday to make the ashes that we will use for Ash Wednesday.
And we take these palms and we burn them. That ties in last year's Holy Week service with the beginning of Lent this year.
I explained to them the significance of the ashes. They remind us of human frailty and that our lives are not something that we have in and of ourselves, but they are a gift from God, and they don't continue forever except by God's grace. Part of the reason that we use the ashes is that ashes in the Bible represent repentance, seriousness to live your life in a new way. When we make the ashes and we put the ashes on our foreheads, it's a sign of wanting to be serious about living in the way God wants us to live. As the palm ash is there, then they take that out with the spoons and put it through a strainer. It becomes a fine powder. Some people just use the straight ash and usually put the sign of the cross on the person's forehead. I take olive oil and make kind of a paste out of it and use that as the substance with which I apply the ashes to people.
You shall return.
When I put the ashes on people on Ash Wednesday, in the Lutheran tradition we use the verse out of Genesis.
Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return.
Lent is kind of a penitential season, meaning that in our worship services, things are a little bit more subdued. Lent is for us an opportunity to reflect on how we're living our lives as Christians and to reflect more fully and maybe change some of the things that we're doing to live more fully the way we think we should live as Christians.
That's our program for now. I'm Bob Abernethy. There's much more on our website where you can comment on all of our stories and share them. Audio and video podcasts are also available. Join us at pbs.org. On a top As we leave you, part of a special White House concert this week of music from the Civil Rights Movement.